So I've got the pleasure, or the dubious honour if you like, of actually introducing our new series. So we are going to be looking at the book of Psalms, but I wondered if you knew actually what the psalm was. It's actually, the book is actually a compilation of several ancient collections of Hebrew songs and poetry. There are 150 psalms.
That's 150 services.
I read the first one this morning.
How many psalms? 150.
That's what I read this morning.
How many authors? Well, there was David, obviously. You all know about the Psalms of David. But there was also... Why is this not working properly? This is going to do my head in. Moses also is some of the author of the Psalms. And there's Asaph and Solomon and Ethan and Jeduthun. And actually, there are some Psalms who we don't know the authors of. And do you know what? They're known as the Psalms... are known as orphan psalms.
Oh.
Hang on a minute. I think I forgot one. Where is it? He-Man, that's right. Here he is. He-Man also wrote a psalm. Really sadly, though, he's only mentioned as the writer of Psalm 88. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, just as an author of Psalm 88. Now, Psalm 1, along with Psalm 2, are known as introductory psalms. Nobody has been accredited to them, but they are forming the first book. Now, the first book of Psalms, the Psalms are split up into five books, okay, and they are at the beginning of the first book, and most of the others within there are accredited to David. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 1 this morning and see what we can actually learn. That is six verses to this psalm, and by the time I've finished, you should have these all in your head, and I expect you to be able to recite them back to me every time. Right.
You'll love that.
That's it. Okay. So, here we go. We're going to be looking, first of all, at the way of the righteous. So the first three verses show us how to live. Or, actually, if you read it carefully, how not to live. So verse 1 says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's not telling you blessed is the man because they're doing something. Blessed is the man who's not doing certain things. And it's interesting because a lot of this is talking about other people who you would actually engage with. Okay, the ungodly. Stand in the path of sinners. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Who you personally would engage with. This psalm is quite a personal psalm. It's all about you. For once... it's all about you, okay? Who you choose as friends quite often dictates, to some extent, your success and your destiny in life. And it's interesting when we actually look at this, that to be, like it says blessed or blessed, you could change that to the word happy, contented. But speaking, you don't do these things. When you don't do these things, then you're actually going to be contented. Then you're going to be happy. And then you're going to be blessed. And of course, Jesus used the word blessed quite often in the Beatitudes. Now, I sat down this morning and I went through the first book of Psalms and found that there were three Psalms that actually start with the word blessed. I didn't get time to go through them all. So your homework is to go back and look at the other psalms and see how many you can find that start with the word blessed. Now Jesus, as we know, used the word blessed in the Beatitudes. And I thought about reading them out. But actually what I want to do is to actually...
What's healthy about this? So everything is handmade, high protein, and as many nutritious ingredients as possible.
A high protein dish.
That's a song, high protein dish.
Now this is from The Chosen, and this is an imagining of how Jesus might have actually started to think about how he was actually going to do the Sermon on the Mount. There's always a risk when you introduce something like that into a sermon that it will get misinterpreted. And what I wanted to do was to introduce that because of the words that Jesus spoke. Now, we know that Jesus spoke those words on the Sermon on the Mount. And that, from The Chosen, is a reimagining of how he was actually preparing and Matthew was actually scribing the actual words. We don't know that that actually happened. But we do know that those words were actually spoken. And it's interesting that when Jesus spoke the blessings in the Beatitudes, it's blessed are they, blessed are you, when if you're persecuted, blessed are those who mourn. Whereas in verse 1 we said, blessed is the man who's not doing these things. Verse 2, we moved away from the blessing and to find that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Now it's an interesting word, meditates, because when we think of the word meditate, it's not what the Hebrews think. The actual Hebrew word for meditate is haga. I've actually sort of got it in the phonetic, it says ha-ga. And it means to reflect, to moan, to mutter, sometimes to make a quiet sound, unlike myself. And often to repeat these words to yourself quietly. So you see, it's not a mental exercise, there's a physical aspect to it as well. Now this, from this comes a special type of Jewish prayer which they call the davening. Now where these prayers are actually accompanied by a rocking backward and forward motion. And what they're doing is actually repeating scripture to themselves as they rock forward, backwards and forwards. So if you ever see a Jewish person doing that motion, he's praying or he's reciting scripture. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is now what the godly man is going to be like. And the Bible uses an analogy of a tree that grows. The tree that grows by the water has got its natural source of water. You can see it. All trees have water to make them grow, but quite often you can't see them because the roots are really down low. When you see it by a river, it's obvious where its natural source comes from, where it gets its nourishment. And it's important because the water helps produce the fruit. And it's the same if we drink of the living water of Jesus Christ. You see, if you do that, you will produce good fruit. If you don't produce that, you won't produce fruit. Do you remember the story in John's Gospel of the woman at the well? Let me see if I can find it. It's in my Bible somewhere.
John 4.
I know. It's John 4. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. And the story is well known. Jesus has gone to meet a Samaritan woman for the express purpose of telling her about himself as the Messiah, but also to read her life story back to her so that she really understands that this guy is the Messiah. And the woman says this, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with," meaning the water, "and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water which he's talking about? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" So she knew her history. She knew all about Jacob. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And that's why it's such an interesting analogy when we talk about the tree and the water. Because obviously Jesus is our living water. And it's interesting also that the water doesn't just feed the fruit, it also feeds the leaves. You know, when you see a leaf that's withered, it's really quite sad. You can see that the plant, there is some life in it, but the leaf has actually withered. So before Christmas, Anne and I went to visit Lisa. And Lisa's not good with plants. And she said, Mum, I've got this poinsettia. Can you do something with it? So Anne said, "Where is it?" "It's in the garden." That's the first place it shouldn't be. And so we said, "Yes, we can do something with it." And it did look really floppy. And it didn't look like it was very well at all. And we took it home. And I actually thought it had it. Quite honestly, but she's a miracle worker, my missus. It had been overwatered. I don't know why Lisa keeps buying plants, honestly. But you see, it's all about getting yourself in the right setting. So the poinsettia came home to Gravesend. It was in the right setting. It's doing okay. It's still too damp, but it's doing okay. And again, going back to what we're looking at here, whatever he does shall prosper if he is in the right place. If the poinsettia was in the right place, it would prosper. If you are in the right place, you will prosper. Yeah. Now, prosperity is not all about money. No. It's not all about finance. That's how the world interprets prosperous. That's not what you should be thinking about. Actually, maybe think about the word succeed instead of thinking about the word prosper. Okay? So, whatever he does, he shall succeed. So we're halfway through the psalm. And now the ungodly get their turn. But it's interesting how the verses suddenly decrease in size. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now the imagery here is quite interesting as well. Because it's like you've got this idea, chaff. Now, you know what chaff is? It's that stuff around the seed of the corn. So it's got no root. And they separate the chaff from the wheat by doing something called threshing, where they actually put it on the floor and they get rid of it. And all the chaff just sort of, it's in the air. And it's just got nowhere to go. And quite often, it's worthless. You know what? And it just, the wind blows it away. Unless, of course, there is no wind, and then typically a farmer would set fire to it. But it's got no worth at all. It's just gone, you know? The chaff, like the wind drives away. That's the ungodly people. The ungodly people. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So worthless that they're not even going to be judged. So worthless that they're not going to be in the congregation of the righteous. Absolutely and totally discarded. See, it's quite a damning statement when you think about it, or when you meditate on it, or when you are divining on it. I expect you to be doing this all afternoon now. Bit of divining. You see, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now that's lovely. If I'm going to ponder on something, or if I'm going to divine on something, that's what I'm going to divine on. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows. You don't have to tell him you're righteous. He knows. He's with you. But the way of the ungodly? Two words. It couldn't be more damning than that. Shall perish. They're gone. You see, there's no elaboration. There's no flowery words for all of this. Because they're not worth it. They're gone. And it's a very abrupt and a very matter-of-fact way to talk about it. See ya. They're gone. So what does this tell us? This tells us that you have got two paths. And the psalm, and remember, this is the first psalm. This is before we get into some of the really beautiful, flowery, musical language of the psalms. At the very, very beginning, you've got this statement, this setup for the rest of all of the psalms. You've got one way, or you've got t'other way. I don't think they said t'other in Hebrew. T'other way. But of course, we know that there is the option to choose Jesus. But when the psalm was written, that wasn't there. That wasn't available. So you had the righteous. You could either be in the righteous team, or you could be in Charlton. Sorry, the ungodly team.
Sorry, Rick.
Your strong versus the weak. Now, you may not think you're strong, but you've got to remember that you and God are a majority. So whatever you're going through, and we all go through stuff, you are with God. So you are a majority. Therefore, you are strong. You're not chaff. You're not going to be blown away. You're not going to be discarded on the winds of change or whatever. Why is that? That's because Jesus gives us our direction of travel. Should we choose to go there, of course. Should we choose the correct path? Now, I'm not going to say which one of those two is the correct path, because they both look nice. And sometimes in life, that's the problem. They both look nice, but you want to choose the godly path. It's not often signposted, but actually, if you look for that signpost, it is actually there.
I picked the one that was most used, I think.
Jesus tells us this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no alternative. There's no veering off the path because it looks quite nice over there. There is no alternative. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will be going on that godly path because that's what Psalm 1 wants me to actually do. So in conclusion then, six verses, learn them. Next week, we're going to get one of you up in... No, we're not. But we have started on our series of Psalms. We're one down and 149 to go. Fantastic, right? So that means we've got 3 years to actually go through the whole of the Psalms. Is that what you wanted? No. It's okay. Psalm 1. Go and look it up. It's easy to sit and go, okay, that's fine. Go back and read it. Yeah? Remember what I said at the carol service. Read the book. Okay? Make sure you've got the ending right. Make sure you read it. Go back and read this psalm and meditate on it. Divining on it. Now Mike's up next. Next week, Psalm 2. So, 1, 2, then it's going to be 3. No, it's not. We're not doing all 150.
In one go.
I'm not sure who's got Psalm 119. So I'm looking at Rupert. Who's looking at Carol? Who's looking at Alan? But we are going to be going through some psalms and we're going to be learning and really understanding... Well, not just why they're in the Bible, but just the beauty of them and the joy that they can actually give you. And after Mike, of course, we've got one of our favourites. Alan Greenback will be back. And he's going to be talking about our favourite psalm. And we all know what our favourite psalm is, don't we, folks? 23. Amen.
My shepherd, I Team Kate, bless you. See you next week.